Good morning. I'm going to be reading the passage that Anthony will then be speaking on, and it's from Acts 16, verse 11 through to the end, and I think it's going to come up behind me as well. So starting at verse 11 of Acts 16. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword. He was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrate sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed.
Thank you, Ruth, for the reading. God bless you. Good morning, church, once again. I bring greetings from my family, the church where I worship every Sunday, and again from J Life Ministries. Greetings, brothers and sisters. I know there are certain things I'll be doing here that may not be culturally relevant to you. Often when we preach in Malawi, at some point we'd say hallelujah, and then the congregation say amen. That is normal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, that's it. God bless you. Yeah, that is how great it is to cross the cultural divide and see the other side. I'd be glad to see you open your Bibles. I don't see many of you with Bibles with you. I really love to see somebody going through the passage that I've read. I hope something will be up there, popping up there, so that we are together in the message. The title of the message this morning is Open Doors of Ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wonderful. We have read from Acts of Apostles chapter 16. Reading through Acts of Apostles from chapter 1, you begin to understand that in chapter 28 of Matthew, Jesus has just given the Great Commission, and he tells the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. In chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes, and then the church is born. And then a few chapters down, Acts of Apostles, chapter 9, you see Paul coming to faith in Christ, and then he's commissioned to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And then in chapter 13, we see Paul and his friends being sent out for the first missionary journey, which was quite short. They planted churches in a number of places. At this point, the gospel has now crossed into the Gentile Roman Empire, out of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And the gospel is growing so fast. In chapter 15, you see Paul coming back from the first missionary journey, but with so many questions, because they've been fighting between Gentiles and Christians. And then chapter 15, the church leadership comes up with resolutions for Paul to take back to the churches. And this is where now chapter 16 comes, takes up the whole story. I want you to understand this, that the story of Acts of Apostles, is still going on today, because now the gospel has crossed over to the Gentile land. And over the past 2 millennia, the gospel is still spreading in the Gentile land. We are part of that story. Actually, God is still writing that story. And Hillview Church is part of that story. You are part of that story. And all through the ages, all through the years, God has been opening doors all across the world for the gospel to be preached. And many of us have come to faith just because God opened doors of ministry. 150 years ago, one of you, a young man from Blantyre in Scotland, came over to Malawi and preached the gospel. So Malawi was open to the gospel. And I am one of the beneficiaries of that. Now, coming to chapter 16, Paul and his friends have set off on their second missionary journey. And they have two reasons for this trip. Number one is to deliver resolutions that were reached at by the council at Jerusalem. And number two, to strengthen and encourage churches that he had planted in the first missionary trip. When you read the passage clearly, you come to understand that this was Paul's initiative. So Paul has taken initiative, unlike in the first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13, where it is the Holy Spirit who said, "Set aside for me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have for them." But on this particular trip, it is Paul taking the initiative, telling the brothers, "Let's go and encourage the brothers across." So they set off. But a number of things happened just before ministry started. The Bible says in verse 6, Acts 16, verse 6, "Now they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God in Asia." Quite interesting, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's quite interesting. The Holy Spirit says no. Paul is so passionate to share the gospel, but the Holy Spirit says no, you're not. And then they move on. And the Bible says after that they came to Mysia and they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit did not permit them. What a surprise, what a shock for this passionate mission team. And then that very night, the Holy Spirit speaks to Paul in a vision. A man from Macedonia appeared to Paul in a vision and says, "Come and help us." Hallelujah. So a door is opened in Macedonia. And Paul wakes up in the morning and having prayed about it, they concluded that now is the time that we should cross over to Macedonia and preach the gospel. So we read from verse 11. It's quite a long passage, but I'll try to go through it I'll go through it fast enough. So verse 11, the Bible says, "Therefore, setting from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. And the next day we came to Neapolis and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony." So Philippi was a leading city in the area. So they crossed over to Philippi. And the Bible says they stayed there for a couple of days. I presume these few days that Paul stayed in Philippi, he was figuring out what exactly is the Holy Spirit wanting them to do. Because now this door has been opened by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who has opened this door of ministry. So Paul is wondering, what are we doing here? Holy Spirit, what exactly do you want us to do here? So they stay a couple of days. And also presume that they are praying. They're praying around the streets, hoping to see an open door somewhere to share the gospel. And then Sabbath day comes, as usual. Wherever Paul went on Sabbath, he would search for a place of worship. He's a Jew. So he would search for a place of worship. And then he finds a place of worship, but outside the city. So his eyes are open. "Let's go down and join our brothers and sisters." Only to be surprised that at this place of worship, there were no men. There were women. So the Bible says, "And on the Sabbath day, they went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down." So they went to the prayer place and there they sat down. And then somewhere in between, they are asked to share something. Hallelujah. They are asked to share something because they are visiting. So they are asked to share something. This reminds us of a story in Luke chapter 4. Jesus grew up in Nazareth. And one morning, he goes to the synagogue. And the Bible says he was given an opportunity to read from the scriptures. So he sat down and read from the scriptures. And then Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel. So Paul sat down, and then he was given an opportunity, because now the door has been opened for the gospel to be preached. So he shares the gospel. And something wonderful happens. As he was sharing the gospel, verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. So she's a Gentile, converted into Judaism. So she is a worshiper of God. Chapter 10 of Acts of Apostles, the first person, the first Gentile to come to faith in Christ is the Roman soldier, the centurion. He was a worshiper of God. And here is a woman who is a worshiper of God. And the Bible says this lady who was a worshiper of God, the Lord opened her heart to hear the things spoken by Paul. So be reminded that this door of gospel opportunity was opened by the Holy Spirit through that vision. And then secondly, as Paul is sharing the word of God, the Holy Spirit goes before him, goes ahead of him, and begins to open people's hearts. Hallelujah. Here we see the God and man collaborating in salvation of mankind. Paul's role, preaching the gospel. We don't convert people. We don't. We don't have those powers. Our role is to share the gospel. Wherever the door has been opened, my role is to share the gospel. In Colossians chapter 4, I just want to read that passage. A couple of days ago, after I'd arrived, I had the privilege to be part of a Bible study group. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul says, continue in earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God will open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains. And that I may make it manifest, I may make it clear as I ought to speak. So Paul is asking the Colossian church, pray for us that God will open doors of what? Doors of ministry. That God will enable us to share the mystery of Christ. And as we share the mystery of Christ, we should be able to share that clearly so that people understand. So as Paul is sharing the gospel in this place, God begins to open people's hearts. God begins to unveil in people's hearts the message of salvation. And this lady gave her life to Christ that morning. So as God opens the doors of ministry, people's lives are saved. Having taken up that challenge, Paul having taken up that challenge, God begins to open people's lives as he's sharing the gospel. Because the gospel has power to save both the Jew and the Gentile. I remember the morning I gave my life to Jesus in 1998. I was sitting there by the street, down in Blantyre. And a missionary came along to where my friends were sitting. And they started sharing the gospel to them. And I heard in my spirit, God speaking to me, come close. Would you please draw close to those people and hear what they are saying? So I went close. I didn't know what was happening. But I presume that moment God opened my heart to hear the gospel. And drawing close to where these people were, I heard Jesus speak to me. And that morning, for the first time, Jesus said, "Anthony, repent today. If you don't repent today, you will certainly go to hell." I heard it myself. I had no choice. I gave my life to Jesus that morning. And that became the turning point of my life. I grew up thinking I was a Christian. But that morning, after God opened my heart to understand the gospel, I made a decision to give my life to Jesus. I fully understand this, how this happened to many of you. This is what happened to many of you. So Lydia gave her life to Jesus, and thereafter, she persuades the apostles, "Please, if you've considered me worthy, come to my house. Stay with us." And after that, the whole household gets saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God opened one person's heart to the gospel, and she gave her life to Jesus. And then with that open door, God opens the entire household to the gospel. So the entire household was saved. The year is 2001, as I was in Bible college. For 2 years, I've been praying, "God, now that I'm saved, now that I'm your son, would you please save my family?" Your word says you don't want anybody to go to hell. And in 2001, God opened a door in my family. With my friends, we went back to the village where I come from, where I was born. And then we shared the gospel in the entire village. My sister gave her life to Jesus. I thank God. My two brothers gave their lives to Jesus that weekend. And since then, I was encouraged, and I've been praying over the years that more and more of my family will come to faith in Jesus. I want to believe that your coming to faith is an open door to your family, to your extended family. Back in Africa, we've got extended families. I live in a community where everyone knows each other. My being in this community is an open door of ministry, of the gospel to this community. I want to believe you as a believer, in the community where you're living, you are an open door for Christ to reach out to that community. How many times have you not made use of that door? This morning, Jesus says, go through that door, because he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the story goes on. As they're moving around the street, the Bible says they came across this slave girl who had a spirit of divination. Strange, isn't it? He had a spirit of divination. And the Bible says for a couple of days, this slave girl kept on shouting to Paul and his friends, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And this she did for so many days. And Paul says, "Enough is enough." Back in Africa, we believe whatever happens in the spirit world affects the physical. So we are fully aware of the spirit world around us, issues of demons and spirits, and people believe in them. As this slave girl confronted Paul, after some days, Paul got annoyed, because it is a spirit that, even though the message is, this spirit is saying these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation, but this spirit is not interested in the gospel. This spirit is interested in distracting people from hearing the gospel. And Paul says, "I command you, spirit, come out of her. And immediately the spirit came out of the slave girl. Hallelujah. Do we have spirits here? Are demons available here? Do we believe in demons? Do we believe that demons really speak through people? Do we? I do. Do we believe that believers, you have power and authority over demons? Do you believe that? I do. Many times I've seen demons manifesting, and many times I've prayed and cast them out. Demons are real. The devil is real. But Jesus says, I've given you power and authority over evil spirits. So Paul uses that authority and tells the demon to come out. Two things are happening here. The moment this demon came out, this slave girl, who was being abused by her handlers, her masters, they were making money. It was a business for them. As the spirit came out, they lost business. Hallelujah. Do we know that many people are making lots of money out of demons? Do you know that people are making fortunes out of evil spirits? I see it happening back at home. We have magicians. People visit them. People consult them. And people pay money. And these magicians are using evil spirits to help people, which is not help at all. People make money. Hallelujah. So, there is lots of business. And number two, this girl is delivered. This girl is delivered. She's no longer a victim. She's delivered completely. And I want to believe, with this deliverance, this girl believed in Christ, gave her life to Jesus. And then with the loss of business, what happens? Immediately, after the handlers realized that they have lost business, what did they do? They caused an uproar. They arrest them. And then there are a number of charges leveled against them. I'm so surprised that this girl is delivered, but somebody says, no, that is wrong, that is wrong. That is wrong, very wrong. Paul and Silas are called names. Hopefully, they were called bigots, isn't it? They are called names. This landed them into trouble. And this reminds me about the cost of discipleship. Preaching the gospel is not bread and butter. There is a cost to it. This calls for suffering because of the gospel. So there are two charges leveled against them. Charge number one, they are Jews. What is wrong in being a Jew? Sounds like discrimination, isn't it? Yes. What is wrong being a Christian? These people are causing problems here. They are Christians. In Aberdeen, in Hillview, they are Christians. What is wrong in being a Christian? And charge number two, they teach customs which are not lawful for us Romans to receive and to observe. Paul did not preach any message on this street. What he did was to cast out the spirit. Was that wrong? Was that a strange custom? But I understand, because these people were so influenced by evil spirits, and it was against the devil for Paul to stand up and cast out this demon. And the moment this demon was cast out, I want to believe something happened in the spirit world. There was trouble in the spirit world.
Because now Jesus had taken over the city. Now that the gospel could be preached effectively. So there's the agitation in the spirit world. And the devil says, no, 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 no. These people have been in captivity for so long. You can't just chase us out like that. So they get into trouble. Hallelujah. I remember a couple of years ago with my friends after conducting a training down by the lake up north from Blantyre. After doing training, I and my friend, we said, we decided to go over to the other side of the lake where our friends were also conducting training. And then we hitchhiked. And then 5 minutes into the trip, my friend started sharing the gospel. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, we are traveling. We're on this journey together. What if we are involved in an accident and all of us die? Where will you go when you die? And then he started sharing the gospel. God so loved the world. And then immediately as he started sharing the gospel, a lady sitting next to him stood up and said, Mr. Driver, stop. He is a Satanist. Why is he talking about death here? He wants to kill us. And the entire, all the people in the truck rose up against us. So I told my friend, brother, don't worry about it. So we got off the truck, we paid the money, and then I said, it is not us that they have denied. They have denied Jesus. So they can go. And this is the middle of the forest, and it is around 7 o'clock in the evening. It's dark. But we said, they can go. We'll find our way to where our friends are. So there's always a cost in sharing the gospel. Hallelujah. And many of us have experienced this. Because the devil doesn't want people to be free. He doesn't want that. And he wants to fight. He wants to fight you. Every day we face this on the street. Every day we face this in our workplaces. Every day we face this in different places. The devil hates the gospel. And he will not allow us to share the gospel. No wonder why many of us are in trouble. And no wonder why some of us have even folded up everything and said, I'm no longer doing this. No wonder some of us are not engaged in the gospel. Are not engaged because we are so afraid. But this is part of the Christian story. So they are arrested and taken to the magistrates. And then the magistrates beat them so hard. They are wounded. And then they are committed to jail for that night. And they go to jail. And they command this keeper of jail, keep themselves, they should not run away. I want to believe that they had stories back in Acts of Apostles chapter 12. Peter was arrested and committed to jail. And at night, an angel came and opened the jail doors and he ran away. They might have heard those stories. So they are committed to the innermost jail. And they're put in stocks. Guess what Paul does in the night? He is praying. Hallelujah. He is not weeping. He's not crying. Lord, why, Lord? He's not asking those questions. He's not. He's rejoicing. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says, I want to know. That's his passion for life. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And even, I'm ready even to share in Jesus' suffering. So Paul is more than willing to suffer with Christ. So in this jail, beaten and left for the dead, Paul is rejoicing. He's praying. They're singing songs of worship to God. And guess what? Prisoners are listening. Hallelujah. So the first door was opened by the riverside outside the city. And Paul made use of it. And people were saved. The second door is opened on the street. This is slave girl Here's the gospel. She's delivered. I hope many other people also believed. And the third door is opened. And guess where? Prison. A place where nobody thinks God can open doors. So a door is opened in prison. And Paul goes through it. He is praying and he is worshiping God. And prisoners who had no chance to hear the gospel, they hear Paul singing. They hear Paul praising God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've heard so many stories about the Western world. After I'd come to faith in Christ, you know where I learned how to preach? Hospital. We used to go to the hospital every Wednesday, every Thursday, preaching the gospel in the hospitals. Our hospitals back at home, they're open to the gospel, but the church is not ready to take up those opportunities. I've been to jails, I've been to prisons to preach the gospel. But I'm told here, preaching the gospel in prison is taking advantage of people who are vulnerable, isn't it? And it's forbidden to a certain extent. If you work in hospital, you're not allowed to share your faith, isn't it? It is forbidden. Back at home, those doors are wide open. But people are not ready to take them up. My prayer is that God will begin to open these doors in prisons, in hospitals, in unlikely places. And that God will mobilize the church to take up these opportunities and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our partnership with Caruso Trust through our brother Jonathan, God is using that partnership for us to stand up and begin to take over, to take up these opportunities. God has opened so many opportunities in villages, in rural areas, hard to reach places. We have been there. We have seen people being transformed. And I thank God for this partnership. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to do this. And over the years, we have trained thousands to reach 100,000. But I fully understand that very soon these doors will be closed. The devil doesn't want them to stay open for long. Very soon the doors will be closed. Pray for us that these doors will remain open. Pray for us that the church will open its eyes and begin to take up these opportunities, go through these doors. Hallelujah. And my prayer is that God will begin to open doors in your communities, in the show, in the marketplaces, in workplaces. God will open these doors. And then you will be available to go through them. Because God desires that everyone should hear the gospel and that everyone come to salvation. As I'm closing, Paul is praying. Paul is singing praise and worship. And immediately, a miracle happens. Doors are opened. Doors of prisons are opened. And Paul doesn't run away. If it was me, I would take that chance. I would run away straight home. Isn't it? I would straight away. That is what common sense would tell me. Run for your life. I would run. Paul didn't do that. I want to believe Paul said, prisoners, don't. You didn't work for this. God has done it. And immediately the jailer is thinking everyone has run away and is about to kill himself. And Paul says, no, wait. We are all here. And he understands that this is a miracle. And he takes them. He washes their wounds. He feeds them. He takes them home. And then the entire household is saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are so many lessons we are learning from this. So many lessons. So many lessons. Just like was the case at the time of Paul. God opened those doors. And Paul was so committed to the gospel that he went through them. God is still opening doors today. What is he waiting for is somebody to stand up and say, God, I'm willing. Use me. I'll go through that door. Hallelujah. Because my role is to preach, to take up the opportunities, go through them, preach the gospel, and let God do the rest. Hallelujah. This is everyone's call. Not Pastor Martin Scott only, or Pastor Scott. No, or Pastor Dominic, or elders. It is everybody's call to go through these open doors of the gospel. Everybody. Hallelujah. Is there somebody this morning who is saying, God, I've been missing these opportunities. God, forgive me. Have mercy on me. I'm ready. Use me. Is there anybody who would like to make that commitment this morning? Paul did it. So can we. We have so many resources. The multimedia resources, books, they're everywhere. We can make use of those as open doors of ministry. May God help us. May God encourage us. May God strengthen us. May God continue to inspire us to go through those open doors. Because God is in the business of opening doors of ministry. And our business is to take them up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After they were released, they went back to their brothers and they encouraged them. They comforted them. Don't worry, my brothers. This is what it means to follow Jesus. As we are going back, God will continue to open doors in the city of Philippi. Take them up, take them up. Don't worry about persecution. As I'll be going back home, brothers and sisters, be encouraged. God is relying on you. Jesus will never come back and preach the gospel. He's in heaven, inspiring us to do the work. Do it. Hallelujah. God bless you as we continue to meditate on this word. To God be the glory, honor, and praise forever and ever. Amen.